who agree with Georgie. I wonder whether you do. 1300 222 774. Keep your texts and your calls coming. Right now, though, I don't know whether you heard a conversation earlier this morning on Mornings around something called compassion fatigue. If you work in a caregiving role, let's say you're a nurse, a police officer, paramedic, doctor, counsellor, there are many other roles as well, the chances are that you deal with trauma and tragedy every day. And does that take a toll on you? Give me a call if that's what's happening to you and whether you recognise it as compassion fatigue. 1300 222 774. It's certainly the story of what happened to Police Detective Sergeant Peter Romanis. And he knew it was happening, so he set about researching it, and he's now a source of knowledge and support for his colleagues. Peter Romanis, welcome to Drive.
Good afternoon, Ali, to you and your listeners.
So when did you first realise that you had compassion fatigue, and what is it? I hadn't actually heard of it until today.
Yeah, look, compassion fatigue in a nutshell is the combination of secondary traumatic stress and burnout. So the secondary traumatic stress stems from prolonged exposure to trauma, loss and the suffering of others, whereas burnout occurs as a consequence of how we engage with our work environment, and that can come in many different forms, be it rostering or shift work, workloads or deadlines, and conflict with colleagues and managers. And so for me, I guess it started over an extended period of time in my career thus far, and I began experiencing feelings of not really feeling like myself, but I couldn't explain why. And I knew I wasn't sick, but I just wasn't my normal self. And as you said, I began researching and came across some studies involving compassion fatigue, and immediately began to associate with it, and it set off a whole lot of light bulb moments for me.
It seems like the use, the words, I suppose, compassion fatigue, it's almost like you stop caring. Is that right?
Yeah, to an extent. You know, I guess that the way it sort of manifests in people suffering from compassion fatigue is signs and symptoms very similar to that of PTSD. People may experience increased anxiety, hypervigilance, trouble sleeping or isolation. But it's really an individual case-by-case basis. And I wasn't able, for me at least, to put my finger on exactly what it is, what it was for me. But certainly learning more about it, it set off a whole lot of light bulb moments for me and resulted in my studies.
I know that you're currently in the Major Collision Investigation Unit with Victoria Police. You're the lead detective on the Daylesford crash, which we remember killed five people at the end of last year. You also worked on the Eastern Freeway tragedy that killed four police officers. I mean, they must have an enormous impact on you. When you talk about those light bulb moments, what are you talking about?
And I guess the best way to describe it or the impact that it can have on someone is, there was a great quote from a Dr. Naomi Remen that I included in my report that basically says the expectation that we can be immersed in the suffering and loss daily and not be touched by it is as unrealistic as expecting to be able to walk through water without getting wet. So inevitably, the work that emergency service workers do and anyone in a caring capacity has is going to impact them in some way. It doesn't necessarily have to be incidents such as the scale of the Daylesford collision and the Eastern Freeway. It can be single car crashes for our unit that we encounter on a daily basis. It can really result in changes in people's approach to their work, their attitudes towards their work. It's really on an individual basis.
Is it the incidents themselves, or is it the people that you interact with around those incidents that have the biggest impact?
Yeah, it's a really common thing, Ali, and a comment towards people in my work unit where we often get asked, you know, you must see some really horrible things. And whilst that's true, one of the most challenging parts of the work in the major collision area is working with the families and the witnesses who experience that direct trauma and the loss of a loved one.
So how do you address it?
Well, I think it all starts, and this is based on the experts that I spoke to, it really does start with an understanding of the true causes of stress and how trauma interacts with your body. From there, there's a body of evidence that points to improving a person's ability to self-regulate their automatic nervous system by interrupting the threat responses to triggering incidents as a way to alleviating the stresses and the symptoms of compassion fatigue. There are essentially a number of relaxation techniques that can be implemented as the signs of stress, or I guess when we think about the automatic nervous system, the elevation of the sympathetic nervous system as it begins to present itself. And these relaxation techniques bring you back to a sense of calm, and they can be implemented without anyone knowing that you're doing them, and enables people to continue the great work that they do in the emergency service and the caring area.
So you're talking about things as simple as a breathing exercise?
It can be as simple as breathing and shrugging your shoulders, and all of that is designed to relax the muscles in your body, release tension from the body, and bring yourself back to a state of calm where you can think clearly and enable yourself to feel a lot better about the work that you're encountering.
We're talking to Peter Romanis, who's a police detective sergeant, and we're talking about compassion fatigue. Peter Romanis, even with those relaxation techniques that if you can, I suppose, interrupt that threat response, as you put it, I've heard you speak elsewhere about, you've described this as like having a sponge. It continues to collect water, and if you don't wring it out, eventually, you know, you just can't take any more on. Are those small things that you just referred to, are they enough to start draining the sponge, or do you at some point need to have some much larger response to completely empty the sponge?
Well, I think it's certainly that the analogy that I use about wringing the sponge out is certainly a way of creating some space in your life, be it activities outside of your work or the caregiving role that you have. It's your social network. It's creating a whole holistic environment, I guess, to enable you to, you know, there's a number of different analogies. Empty your bucket, squeeze out your sponge, whatever it is that works for you, to bring you back to a state where you can function properly and in a state of calm and approach, you know, the work that you do or the that I do in the emergency services space to keep going with the work and not have to suffer from the work that we do.
Thank you so much for talking about it. I wonder, is it something that you're comfortable talking about?
Look, it is a tricky area to talk about. Everyone's experiences is quite different. I feel very uncomfortable sometimes talking about myself, but it is a really important area because mental health is an ever-growing area, and certainly in the area of emergency services, it's a constant issue that we're faced with. And I guess the work that I'm trying to do, it complements all of the initiatives that the Victoria Police and other work areas are trying to do to address and improve the mental health outcomes of all of our you know, all of our colleagues in emergency services.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good on you. Thanks, Ali.
Detective Sergeant Peter Romanis there with Victoria Police. Right now, though, I don't know whether you heard a conversation earlier this morning on Mornings around something called compassion fatigue. If you work in a caregiving role, let's say you're a nurse, a police officer, paramedic, doctor, counsellor, there are many other roles as well, the chances are that you deal with trauma and tragedy every day. And does that take a toll on you? Give me a call if that's what's happening to you and whether you recognise it as compassion fatigue. 1300 222 774. It's certainly the story of what happened to Police Detective Sergeant Peter Romanis. And he knew it was happening, so he set about researching it, and he's now a source of knowledge and support for his colleagues. Peter Romanis, welcome to Drive.
Good afternoon, Ali, to you and your listeners.
So when did you first realise that you had compassion fatigue, and what is it? I hadn't actually heard of it until today.
Compassion fatigue in a nutshell is the combination of secondary traumatic stress and burnout. So the secondary traumatic stress stems from prolonged exposure to trauma, loss and the suffering of others, whereas burnout occurs as a consequence of how we engage with our work environment, and that can come in many different forms, be it rostering or shift work, workloads or deadlines, and conflict with colleagues and managers. And so for me, I guess it started over an extended period of time in my career thus far, and I began experience feelings of not really feeling like myself, but I couldn't explain why. And I knew I wasn't sick, but I just wasn't my normal self. And as you said, I began researching and came across some studies involving compassion fatigue, and immediately began to associate with it, and it set off a whole lot of light bulb moments for me.
It seems like the use, the words, I suppose, compassion fatigue, it's almost like you stop caring. Is that right?
Yeah, to an extent. You know, I guess that the way it sort of manifests in people suffering from compassion fatigue is signs and symptoms very similar to that of PTSD. People may experience increased anxiety, hypervigilance, trouble sleeping or isolation. But it's really an individual case-by-case basis. And I wasn't able, for me at least, to put my finger on exactly what it is, what it was for me. But certainly learning more about it, it set off a whole lot of light bulb moments for me and resulted in my studies.
I know that you're currently in the Major Collision Investigation Unit with Victoria Police. You're the lead detective on the Daylesford crash, which we remember killed five people at the end of last year. You also worked on the Eastern Freeway tragedy that killed four police officers. I mean, they must have an enormous impact on you. When you talk about those light bulb moments, what are you talking about?
Well, and I guess the best way to describe it or the impact that it can have on someone is there was a great quote from a Dr. Naomi Remen that I included in my report that basically says the expectation that we can be immersed in the suffering and loss daily and not be touched by it is as unrealistic as expecting to be able to walk through water without getting wet. So inevitably, the work that emergency service workers do and anyone in a caring capacity has is going to impact them in some way. It doesn't necessarily have to be incidents such as the scale of the Daylesford collision and the Eastern Freeway. It can be single car crashes for our unit that we encountered on a daily basis. It can really result in changes in people's approach to their work, their attitudes towards their work. It's really on an individual basis.
Is it the incidents themselves or is it the people that you interact with around those incidents that have the biggest impact?
Yeah, it's a really common thing, Ali, and a comment towards people in my work unit where we often get asked, you know, you must see some really horrible things. And whilst that's true, one of the most challenging parts of the work in the major collision area is working with the families and the witnesses who experience that direct trauma and the loss of a loved one.
So how do you address it?
Well, I think it all starts, and this is based on the experts that I spoke to, it really does start with an understanding of the true causes of stress and how trauma interacts with your body. From there, there's a body of evidence that points to improving a person's ability to self-regulate their automatic nervous system by interrupting the threat responses to triggering incidents as a way to alleviating the stresses and the symptoms of compassion fatigue. There are essentially a number of relaxation techniques that can be implemented as the signs of stress, or I guess when we think about the automatic nervous system, the elevation of the sympathetic nervous system as it begins to present itself. And these relaxation techniques bring you back to a sense of calm, and they can be implemented without anyone knowing that you're doing them, and enables people to continue the great work that they do in the emergency service and the caring area.
So you're talking about things as simple as a breathing exercise?
It can be as simple as breathing and shrugging your shoulders. And all of that is designed to relax the muscles in your body, release tension from the body, and bring yourself back to a state of calm where you can think clearly and enable yourself to feel a lot better about the work that you're encountering.
We're talking to Peter Romanis, who's a police detective sergeant, and we're talking about compassion fatigue. Peter Romanis, even with those relaxation techniques that if you can, interrupt that threat response, as you put it, I've heard you speak elsewhere about, you've described this as like having a sponge. It continues to collect water, and if you don't wring it out, eventually, you know, you just can't take any more on. Are those small things that you just referred to, are they enough to start draining the sponge? Or do you at some point need to have some much larger response to completely empty the sponge?
Well, I think it's that the analogy that I use about wringing the sponge out is certainly a way of creating some space in your life, be it activities outside of your work or the caregiving role that you have. It's your social network. It's creating a whole holistic environment, I guess, to enable you to. There's a number of different analogies. Empty your bucket, squeeze out your sponge, whatever it is that works for you, to bring you back to a state where you can function properly and in a state of calm and approach the work that you do or the that I do in the emergency services space to keep going with the work and not have to suffer from the work that we do.
Thank you so much for talking about it. I wonder, is it something that you're comfortable talking about?
It is a tricky area to talk about. Everyone's experiences is quite different. I feel very uncomfortable sometimes talking about myself, but it is a really important area because mental health is an ever-growing area, and certainly in the area of emergency services, it's a constant issue that we're faced with. And I guess the work that I'm trying to do, it complements all of the initiatives that the Victoria Police and other work areas are trying to do to address and improve the mental health outcomes of all of our all of our colleagues in emergency services.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good on you. Thanks, Ali.
Detective Sergeant Peter Romanis there with Victoria Police. I'd love to hear from you if you can identify with compassion fatigue. You don't have to be, obviously, in the police force. You could be in any of the emergency services. You might be a counsellor. You might be a nurse. Is this something that you recognise as having happened to you? And I wonder, if that's the case, how do you deal with it? 1300 222 774 is the